So it's Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar's dream of a tree. King Nebuchadnezzar, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. I had a dream that made me afraid, and I was lying in my bed. The images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and the spirit of the holy gods is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. These are the visions I saw while lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one coming down from heaven. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals free from under it and the birds from its branches, but let the stump and its roots bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal till 7 times pass by for him." The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you.
Daniel 4, verses 28 to the end of the chapter. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisers and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Really start at verse 4 tonight. I will comment on the verses 1 to 3 as we get into the chapter, really. So we find that King Nebuchadnezzar is at his palace and he's contented and prosperous. Well, there we are then. Isn't it bully for him? Of course, he's the big cheese in Babylon. You only say yes to Nebuchadnezzar, and you scrape the ground when you approach him because he has the ability and he has the authority to send you off and for your head to be removed, if he so wishes. You remember that in chapter 2 he had a dream. But we find also in this chapter 5 that he also has a dream. And in chapter 2 he says that the dream troubled him, but this dream also troubles him as well. And he says, in fact, that the images and the visions which passed through his mind while he has the dream, he said that they terrified him. And the king calls upon his magicians, his enchanters, his astrologers and diviners. And when they can't interpret the dream, he calls in Daniel. Now God has given Daniel wisdom and understanding, and also the gift to be able to interpret dreams. And Daniel is able to explain the meaning of the dream. And so he says to the king, "The tree which you saw standing in the middle of the land, large and reaching up to the sky with beautiful leaves, and plenty of fruit, and the birds nesting in the branches, and in fact wild animals living underneath the tree as well." And Daniel says, "You, O king, are that tree, for your kingdom has become great and strong and reaches to distant parts of the earth." And Daniel goes on to say, "The messenger which you saw coming down from heaven brings a message from God against you, Nebuchadnezzar. You will be driven from your people and you will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass and be drenched with the dew of heaven. And a time will pass until you acknowledge that God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. and the stump and the root of the tree are to be left in the ground, that means that your kingdom will be restored when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Daniel has delivered the interpretation, but also he advises the king what to do. And we see that in verse 27. And it reads like this. Therefore, O king, Daniel says, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be then that your prosperity will continue. And so verse 27 reveals Nebuchadnezzar's fundamental problem. He is a sinner. He's proud and selfish, and has forgotten what he has learned about God through Daniel. The king has obviously forgotten about the dream which he had in chapter 2. Do you remember the statue, which was made out of bronze and iron and gold and brass? Remember he had a dream about that, and Daniel interpreted that for him. He had obviously forgotten about the fiery furnace, which we read about in Daniel chapter 3. And Daniel's three friends were rescued from the fire. Do you remember the king said to one of his servants, were the three men that we put in the fiery furnace? I can see four. And he had to acknowledge that it was an angel who'd come down and accompanied Daniel's three friends in the fiery furnace and had saved them. And the Bible tells us that there was no singeing upon their bodies or their clothes. The king had obviously forgotten about this. On both of these occasions, Nebuchadnezzar had acknowledged that God was the Most High God. And at the beginning of this chapter, we have Nebuchadnezzar speaking of God's signs and wonders. We see that in verse 2. And also, Nebuchadnezzar declares that God's kingdom is eternal. We see that in verse 3. Now, these verses reflect the influence that the godly Daniel has had upon the king. He'd have to be pretty dense, wouldn't he, not to get the message that's coming through about the fiery furnace and about the statue of metal and bronze and gold and brass, and Daniel interpreting the dreams, and Daniel speaking to him about this great God in heaven. But he's obviously forgotten these things. Nevertheless, the way forward for Nebuchadnezzar, according to verse 27, is to renounce his sins and wickedness. In other words, he is to abandon his sins and his wickedness and to stop oppressing the people. Now, you and I, because we know the Bible, and because we know that it is right to respond to God, we would have repented, because we know that if God calls upon us to repent, we're foolish if we don't. We have the advantage that we've had opportunity to read the whole Bible. This is a pagan king. And so we find that Nebuchadnezzar does nothing. There is no repentance. And then what we find is that 12 months passes by. And Nebuchadnezzar is on the roof of his palace. And as he looks over Babylon, surveying it all there, and thinking, I'm so great. And that's exactly what he says. We read that in verse 30. And he says this. Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? There's three things which are emphasized there. I'm sure that you noticed it. And it says, I have built, I. And then there is, by my mighty power. And then, for my glory. He's puffed up, isn't he? Look how great I am. I am the... raised himself by 2 feet by this stage. I am so great. And as I look out upon this great city, it's I and my. And unfortunately, that's not what God wants. He is puffed up. He's puffed up with pride and his own arrogance. Oh, the pride and arrogance of men, and we see it so often around the world, don't we? And verse 31 tells us that the words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. And what did the voice say in verse 31? It says, the words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken away from you. You will be driven away from people, and you will live with the wild animals and will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Your royal authority has been taken away from you, and the king was driven away from people. Although we know that God is loving and we know that God is merciful, we also know that God is a God of judgment who cannot overlook sin in any form. Nebuchadnezzar is proud and he's arrogant and he's unrepentant. He ignores God's warning and he refuses to give God his rightful place. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read that in the last days, people will be boastful, proud, and ungrateful. Do you remember the church in Laodicea in Revelation, where they were a proud church? They had a good economy. They were rich in cash and other things. They had a good reputation, and they said that they were in need of nothing. And Jesus said to them, You are poor and wretched and need forgiveness. We've got this contrast, haven't we, between proud, which is sin, and what God or what Jesus would say to us. In the case of Nebuchadnezzar, God pronounced judgment on him because of his sin. And the church in Laodicea, that Jesus said, you may have all these things, but you're poor and wretched and you need my forgiveness. For those of you who are here this morning, in Acts, remember Simon the sorcerer? He was proud. What did he say? He said that he was someone great. As soon as I read that this morning, I thought, this can't last. Something will happen. And we find that in Acts that he was rebuked by Peter for his sin. We always need to pay heed, don't we, as to what God's word says. As believers, of course, we want to live to please God. As believers, we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we want to be obedient and we want to follow him. For those who are not believers and who go through their whole life unrepentant, the Bible is quite clear and it says that there is a heaven and then there is a hell. And the unrepentant, the Bible tells us, go to hell. But there is always a great but with God. And that Paul writes about his grace being sufficient for us if we turn to him. So, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Was he banished completely and God forgot about him? Absolutely not. God wasn't finished with him. We read in verse 34 that Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High and honored and glorified him who lives forever. I'm amazed at God's grace to Nebuchadnezzar. Do you know? I really am. You and I wouldn't have been like that to Nebuchadnezzar. We'd have stuck him out there and left him out there. But God's grace is always amazing. Because in fact, not only does God allow him to have his sanity back, not only was that restored, but in verse 36 it says, Nebuchadnezzar also says, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. Amazing that God was so gracious to him. But Nebuchadnezzar had to learn that God rules over all and that he is sovereign in all his ways. And also that God has made a way for sinners by sending Jesus to the cross. And what we find here with Nebuchadnezzar also is that not only was his honor and splendor returned to him, but he said, my advisors, this is verse 36 again, my advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. I think he's learnt his lesson, don't you? I think he's learnt his lesson. But amazing that God has dealt with him in such this way. In his graciousness and his forgiveness, that God has not only brought his sanity back, but in fact has allowed him to have his kingdom back with even greater honour. So, as we think about our own lives, as we give thanks for all that God has done for us, for his love, for his mercy, for his grace, but also for those who are not believers, that God has made a way of salvation. So if you're not a follower of Jesus, don't let your pride get in the way of salvation. What a terrible thing that would be if unbelievers allow pride to get in the way of the salvation which God offers in Jesus. Because Jesus is coming again. So we need to make sure that we're ready for him when he comes. To be ready for Jesus when he comes. Because one of the things which we learn from Daniel is that God is sovereign, that he is merciful, but also is that he always keeps his word. He always keeps his word.